Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal.
Okay, so we have Marilyn Beau Savant, IQ 160, writes for Parade Magazine. Richard Feynman, IQ in the 120s, won a Nobel Prize in Physics. I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the development of intelligence tests and what they mean. How do we mark intelligence?
Well, we love...
It's a great question.
Yeah.
It is great.
It is a great question.
It's great.
It's fascinating because the concept of intelligence is all over our culture.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we call people smart or not so smart. Part of the problem is that once you start talking about people being smart or intelligent, you immediately begin to ask, well, how would you know?
Right.
Right? And culturally, for the last 100 years, we gravitate back to the scores you get on tests. So if you look at the development of IQ tests back in 100 years ago, you know, in actually both in the United States and in Europe,
yeah,
in World War One, they had to ramp up their armies in a hurry, which means that they had drafts, they were bringing large numbers of people into the army quickly, and they wanted to find efficient ways of sorting people into the jobs that they might take within the army. And some of those jobs are carry more of an intellectual burden than others. And so how do you figure out who's going to be most likely to succeed at those jobs? Well, it'd be great to have a test. So people started thinking about, well, what kinds of tests could we give? What kinds of reasoning skills could we test quickly that would be good predictors of whether people would end up being successful in jobs that had an intellectual component to them. And that was really where the IQ tests started to come in.
The problem isn't the fact that there is some general way that you could say that person is generally intellectually competent, because that's not an unreasonable statement. The problem is, what do you do with that information and how far do you take it, right? Because the idea that that predicts some, you know, immutable characteristic that's going to determine what your future is going to be is just reasonable.
And to follow up on Bob's point, so there's a guy, Louis Terman, who really believed that IQ was the determinant of ultimate success. And so he wanted to demonstrate that. And he did an incredible longitudinal study in which he gave IQ tests to thousands of kids in the Bay Area and followed them for decades after that. And what he did was he followed the kids who scored in the genius range on the IQ test, and they were called Terman's geniuses, or sometimes termites. And it turns out some of them did extraordinarily well in their professions, and some of them, you know, not necessarily the kind of success that you might expect if IQ were determining everything. But what I love about that entire study is that of all the people that he tested, there was actually one Nobel laureate in the group. But that individual did not actually score highly enough on the IQ test to be part of the termites. He was just someone who had been tested in the process of trying to find the geniuses.
Yeah.
And it's not that this individual didn't score somewhat highly, but it clearly wasn't the only determinant of intellectual success.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's an important thing to consider about what the word predictive means. I mean, we use these things either to explain a phenomenon or to predict possible outcomes. Now, of course, there are a lot of things that predict any individual's success in life. I mean, not just the things that are measured by an IQ test, but to say it's either completely important, IQ, and really means something, or it doesn't mean anything. Both of those things are wrong. And one person that sort of pushed back against this whole idea is a guy who was in the College of Education at Harvard named Howard Gardner, who wrote a very sort of sea change kind of book about what he called multiple intelligences. You know, the idea was, look, we're just basing everything on mathematical and verbal skills. And actually, there's a whole other There are other dimensions of life that determine success that have nothing to do with that or have little to do with that. But when we look at Gardner's data, though, there are general things that are true about the way people function, right? And I think I like the idea that he was putting forward. It had this sort of egalitarian thing. You know, some people are really good with people and other people have physical skills that are admirable and those kind of things. But to call all those things intelligences was more, I think, a social statement, a value statement than it had to do with science.
And there's actually kind of a danger with calling them intelligences, which is that the concept of intelligence broadly ends up creating a noun for something that is a part of the ongoing dynamic process that is your brain. And so if at some point you take a snapshot of someone's performance and you say that is your intelligence, now you come to believe I've either got some amount of this or I don't have it. And that's a problem because as we've talked about on other shows, an awful lot of your ultimate level of success depends on the effort that you put in on things. And so just having some ability at one time doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do anything interesting later if you don't put any effort in. If you then say, well, it isn't one intelligence, it's a bunch of them. Well, okay, now there's a bunch of these measures, but that just gives you a lot of nouns.
Yeah.
And really, the message we want people to have is there are lots of abilities that influence your degree of success in the ventures that you engage in. And that probably the most important of those abilities is the one that these days they're calling grit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Which is your tendency to keep at something even when it gets difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, it's understandable, I think, that all of us sort of there's an immediate attractiveness to something that seems to simplify very complicated things, you know. But the idea that you can say, well, I just kind of slap a number on somebody and then I'll know where to track them in school and what that just oversimplifies things. Again, it doesn't mean that those tests, those kinds of measures have no value, but what happens with most things that simplify something is that they're overinterpreted in ways that take them way beyond what they were ever intended to do or what they're capable of doing.
Next week, we'll talk about the problem with TED Talks with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.